Well, hi, this is Pastor Mitch Horton with the Victory Church Weekly Podcasts. I've been pastor here at Victory Church since 1994, and I've been teaching and preaching God's Word for over 42 years. In my podcast, I want to take time to share biblical concepts with you, breaking them down in a way that's meaningful, easy to understand, and will help create a strong foundation for your spiritual growth. Now, I want to see you grow closer to God, and I firmly believe that if you'll take the principles I teach and apply them to your life, that you'll start to see God moving in your life like never before. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the podcast. Well, I am so glad to be with you again this week on the Victory Church Weekly Podcast. Pastor Mitch Horton here, and I hope you're doing well. Excited to share the things of God with you today. I have a lot to share today, so I'm going to just jump right in with both feet. How's that? And you know, you may be listening to this on your commute, or you know, anyway, if you're listening to it where you can write, I'm going to have a lot of things to share. I want to talk about the second coming of Jesus today and the rapture of the church and such. Looks like we just may be the generation that sees Jesus return. Something that's always in the forefront of my thinking. You know, we're at the very close, we're at the very last of the last days, the very close, the end of the what people typically call the age of grace, which is the church age, which started when Jesus was raised from the dead and will culminate at the rapture of the church. So, we're right at the close of that age. The next age, if you're a dispensationalist, is the age of divine judgment. And the age of divine judgment is really the time that Jesus returns, and those 7 years prior to his coming, the latter part of that will begin divine judgment on earth, where just before the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes back to set everything right. And I think it's 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's when Israel was changing kings. David was going to begin his kingship. And it talks about all the varying people that were living during that time. And it mentions different groups of people. And 1 Chronicles 12:32, it mentions those of Issachar's race, and it mentions this, who had understanding concerning the times. Then it was the time of change, a tumultuous change of kingship to King David from King Saul. And so I often pray and say, Lord, let me be part of, let me be a person who will be a part of Issachar's race, who had understanding concerning the times. Lord, grant me an ability to know where we are and where we're headed as a pastor. So looks like we're headed right in the time just before Jesus returns, and we could be the generation that sees the rapture of the church. Let me mention this. One thing that's really strong right now is anti-Semitism, or there is a big push against Israel and their land. Now, don't forget that on October 7th, which happened to be my birthday last year, 2023, Hamas attacked Israel in a very atrocious way and just killed families, killed children, etc. Now people are just coming against Israel for their retribution against the Palestinians and the Hamas and what they've done. And they're lambasting Israel, saying that Israel, I've even heard people go so far as to say Israel should be removed off of their land. And now in college campuses all over the United States, there are uprisings, and you know, they're on the side of the Palestinians and against Israel and against the Jewish race. This is an anti-Semitism, friend, on steroids. It's demonic in nature. So I want you to hear me really clearly. God loves us, the church. God also loves the Jewish race. From the Jewish race came Jesus, our Messiah. God gave Abraham a covenant that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. In Christ, we're sons and daughters of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. God also gave the earth a Palestinian covenant. God promised to Abraham that there would be a parcel of land that would be belong to him and to his seed, his family, for eternity. Now, we're again part of the family of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Then there's the Davidic covenant, and that's where God promised that someone from David's heritage would sit on David's throne throughout eternity, and we know that person to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the new covenant, which embraces all of the old and pushes it further and allows Gentiles to be part of the family of God, and is all about us being born again. It's the change of heart. It's God taking out the heart of stone and placing in us a heart of flesh, and us being born again and reconciled to God by faith in the Lord Jesus. We call that the new covenant. So let me say this anti-Semitism that has risen up. Listen, it's demonic in nature, and it goes right along with the spirit of Antichrist. You've got to be aware that before Jesus comes back, be a very tumultuous time on planet Earth, and that's where we're going into. We're going into a time of tumult, a time of chaos, a time of testing, a time of, and the Bible calls it Jacob's trouble, because Israel is going to be threatened once again. And then also Christians and Jews will be persecuted seriously. I'll talk about it in a minute in the Great Tribulation. So, you know, these are the things we're feeling in our previews of that. So that's what I'm wanting to get you to see. In 1948, Israel became a nation again, May 1948, recognized by the United Nations as a nation. And they've been on that land since, and that's a huge sign that Jesus is returning. I found 20-plus scriptures in the Old Testament where God promised before Jesus returns in his second coming to earth that the Jews will be back on their land after having been scattered for 2,000 years. Let me read just several references from those 20. Here's Deuteronomy 31-3. It'll come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God, obey his voice according to all that I command you today with all your heart, soul, that the Lord your God, listen, will bring you back from captivity. He's talking about Israel. And have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So again, there's the promise right there. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. God will bring them back from the nations where they were scattered, and they'll become a nation again. That's a miracle. Here's Ezekiel 11:17. Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Here's Jeremiah 23, verse 3. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I'll set up shepherds over them who shall feed them. They'll fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Israel's been blessed since they came back to that desert land, and the desert has definitely blossomed like a rose. Ezekiel 11:17, therefore says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. So again, to see Israel as a nation again is a signpost on the earth. Israel is God's timepiece. I've often said that over the years. True. What you see in Israel is a will show you where we are on the prophetic clock. Jesus, my friend, his second coming is in view. So I want to talk about that again today. So pray for Israel. And listen, there's anti-Semitism. I absolutely refuse to have anything to do with it. Whether you like Benjamin Netanyahu, whether you like the government of Israel, listen, every nation, the way that nations deal with Israel is the way that God will deal with those nations in the future. So you don't want to be messing with Israel, because they are God's timepiece in the earth, and they are planted back in their nation by God. Listen to Zechariah 12. Listen to this. Behold, verse 2, this is Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness, reeling among all the people. peoples of the earth, all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone. Listen, for all peoples, all who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. What does it mean to heave it away? Those that want to do away with Israel being back on their land, those that want to attack Jerusalem, those that want to end the occupation, they call it, of the land of Israel by the Jewish people. It says, he will make Jerusalem, of God says, I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So I've often said and will repeat, the way you treat Israel is the way God will treat you. The way a nation treats Israel will be the way God treats that nation. And in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, after he returns, I believe those that are nations, we have sheep nations and goat nations, if you read Matthew 25. And those goat nations are the ones that will no longer be nations once Jesus comes back and sets up his 1,000-year rule. What determines whether or not a nation will exist during that time? What they do with Israel now. That's the reason our nation, if we turn against Israel, God will turn against us. If we divide Israel, God will divide us. If we hurt Israel, God will remove his hand of protection from us. So listen, don't diss Israel. You know, listen, I listen to lots of things from lots of people, and some of the people I've listened to over the past number of years, I just, in the middle of their podcast or whatever I'm listening to, I just have to turn them off, because they are buying the diatribe that Israel is all bad and Israel needs to be removed from the land. That is the spirit of Antichrist, my friends, and it's demonic in nature. You need to know that. So again, from a biblical perspective, Israel's going to be back in their land before Jesus comes back. They're there for a reason, for a purpose. Don't mess with what God's doing, or you know what? The hand of judgment will also be on your life. So you just want to be careful. In fact, we're encouraged in the Psalms, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper that love thee. So again, there's a big deal going on, and it just tells me that the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Antichrist, I meant to say, is very real and is loosed on the earth, and there's upsetness and turmoil and chaotic activity really all over the world. Don't forget that there's a group of people that are fostering the Great Reset, a global government where the nations of the world drop down their walls. And refugees from all over the place. There's a hodgepodge of people in every nation so that no people have a distinctive national heritage, so that it's one globe of people, regardless of the nation, regardless of the continent, controlled by a central government. That we call that the one world government. And that is the beast system mentioned in book of Revelation, specifically Revelation 13 and 14. It's going to be a political system. It's also going to be a system of finance. It'll also be a religious system. All that's working together right now. You got to know it. So this Agenda 2030, their goal is to join and amalgamate all the world together under a one central authority, do away with the United States Constitution so that, we are no longer the nation that we have known with individual rights and guided by a constitution. The purpose is that no longer happens, and that we're just an amalgamation of peoples under one authority, and that is the global governments. And the Bible calls that the Antichrist that rules that. So, friends, we are just crazy running into that. You got to have your ears stopped up and your eyes closed not to see it. It's so clear now. And there are people in our government that want this to happen. They're hoping that we do join the global governance. And, those that they're fighting against the most, and those that are there, and the person that they are persecuting the most, who is fighting the battles of his life, It's because he loves America, believes that we should be a nation autonomous and independent from the other nations of the world. That's a Bible view, my friends, whether you like it or not. And they are persecuting this person in a furious way because there are people in our government that want us to join that global governments. Friends, if we do, listen, you'll lose your rights, lose your privileges, and tremendous persecution is coming to you as a believer in the Lord Jesus. So just be aware of that. The Bible talks about the fact there's going to arise a global government. And John saw it on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24. Daniel saw it in the book of Daniel. And 2,500 years ago. So these things are going to happen. In this podcast, I'm just wanting to forewarn and just make all of us aware again that we are living in a very tumultuous time, and that just because the majority believe this, that, or the other doesn't make it right. Don't forget, there were 12 spies sent into the land of Canaan, Numbers 13, and only two of them were right. The rest of them got it wrong and missed God's best for their life. So the crowd is usually not right. Figure that out. If everybody's got to pat you on the back and say hip, hip, hooray to you, my friend, you're going to be challenged as a believer in these days. So it is a day of challenge. It's a day of crazy things happening. But again, it's a fulfillment of what the Bible says the world would be like. And so let me cover it really quickly here. There's also a big belief system that God challenged in my life many years ago. It was way back, I think in 2010, he challenged me. I had preached at that time for about 25 years that the church would leave earth just before this global governance headed by what the Bible terms the Antichrist or a global leader would emerge. And I preached for 25 years that we're not going to be touched by that. That's not going to bother us. And God challenged me, and it was a real wake-up day for me when I began to see clearly, I believe, the Bible teaches that for a portion of what people typically call the tribulation period, believers will be here on planet Earth, and we will see the rise of the Antichrist. That's not popular, it's not exciting, but I believe it is real. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 mentions that there will be a great falling away before Jesus returns. It says there'll be the revelation of the Antichrist. And then it says there'll be a great falling away of believers from the faith, a great apostasy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you know what? My goodness, we're right at the beginning stages of that right now. And there are things being set in motion right now that are going to bring tremendous persecution to the believer. The wokeness that is permeating businesses, permeating our government, permeating everything in the United States of America and in other parts of the world that don't resist it. This wokeness, which includes all types of immorality in crazy ways, my friends, that is going to probably be one of the big reasons that we are seriously persecuted as Christians, because we believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic of marriage consisting of a man and a woman married to each other. And we do not believe, we believe that sex out of sight of marriage, as the Bible terms it, is immorality, and that you can't go to heaven living in immorality. So that's going to bring some challenges in and of itself as governments change, as laws change, and it'll bring a rise of persecution from the Antichrist regime. Just be aware of all of that's in the works. So my heart is, I'm going to keep my heart clean, keep my life clean. My encouragement to you, keep your heart clean. Walk with God. If you don't know Jesus, ask him to come into your life. If you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, ask God for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. If you're not living a pure and holy life, ask God to cleanse you. If you still are allured by the things of this life and the cultural things that are happening right now, and there are certain things that you're doing that you know are wrong, it's time to get before God. Say, God, help me clean up. Help me to hate what you hate and love what you love. Want what you want and detest what you detest. Friends, it is a day to do that. How many hear me? So, again, Let me go back to the rapture of the church. I still hear a number of people on the internet all over the nation here espousing the view, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I hear it just like you do. I used to preach that, but I think that we're going to be really surprised if the rapture doesn't occur before the emergence of this global governance and the rise of the Antichrist. I think there's going to be a lot of surprise believers. If I'm wrong, well, on the way up, I'll say I'm wrong. But you know what? If I'm right, then there are going to be a lot of believers that are really disillusioned and upset because they have believed that we will not be here during that tribulation period. And generally speaking, the tribulation period, a seven-year period of intense challenge, that starts with Israel making some kind of an agreement or treaty or whatever, or aligning themselves with the neighboring nation states around them in some way. We don't exactly know what it is. The Bible's not clear in Daniel 9:27 as to what that is, but we do know that there are 7 years of Jewish time left, 7 years of God dealing with the Jewish race that God revealed to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. There's 7 years of time that are still left for God to deal with Israel, God to do what he needs to do with them. And we're going to be here during the first part of that time. I am pretty much convinced of that now that I have studied the scripture. Let me mention really quickly the believers that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, or that the rapture is going to occur just before this seven-year period and the Antichrist reign begins. Those people that believe that primarily because they believe that that whole seven-year period is the wrath of God, and that because we are not appointed to wrath, the wrath of God, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and Romans 5:9, God's not appointed under wrath. Jesus took our wrath. And because Jesus took our wrath, then because that seven-year period's a time of wrath, then we're done. We don't have to be there, and we're going to be raptured away. It's not true, my friends. And so that's a big subject, and I just don't want to go into it completely today except to say I have changed my views. And again, on our website, you can go to my study of the book of Revelation, and I lay this out very, very clearly. I've preached on this for many, many years now, since 2010. I have blogs about it. I've talked about it in great detail. So I want to challenge you, if you still have a belief system that the rapture is going to take us away before all the hardships occur, you may want to go back and re-examine that belief system. And, again, I hope you're right. But if you're not right, there's some real challenges that a lot of people are not going to be ready or prepared for. And so, again, the 7 years we typically call tribulation, it's Daniel's 70th week. God showed Daniel 70 weeks of seven, or 490 years of Israel's existence. 483 of those years have come to pass. Seven of those years haven't. And so that's where we get the 7 years of tribulation. But people call that the wrath of God, that the whole seven-year period is. And that's what gives a lot, that's the reason a lot of people say that we're not going to be here as the church because Jesus took God's wrath. Well, the first part of that's not God's wrath. The first part of that time period is the wrath of the Antichrist. It's the wrath of that regime, that global governance that comes up. They're going to begin to seriously persecute Christians and Jews as we get into that time period. In fact, Scripture reveals that during that time, the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. You've heard recent information about the red heifer in Israel being taken to Israel, and they're starting at some point animal sacrifices again. Scripture reveals that evidently there's going to be a rebuilt Jewish temple somewhere there in Jerusalem, and the Jews will start, doing animal, the non-saved Jews, non-Christian, non-Messianic Jews will start offering animal sacrifices again. And 3.5 years into that seven-year period, that global governance leader that we call the Antichrist will commit sacrilege in the Jewish, probably rustic temple, and commit what the Bible calls, Jesus called it, an abomination that causes desolation. and do it again, and then turn against the Jews and severely persecute them. The nations of the earth will gather around Israel once again, turn against it in a very, very big way. Christians during that time will be seriously persecuted, mainly because we won't take the mark that is necessary, according to Revelation 13, 14, that enables us to be able to do commerce, to buy our groceries, pay our bills, pay our taxes, pay our insurance on our cars, make our house payment, yada, yada. Without that mark, commerce is going to be almost impossible. So believers that don't take that are going to be seriously, seriously persecuted. So again, you know, we're in the middle of all of this. Again, I think that we are not immune from the wrath of man. The first part of this seven-year time that people call the tribulation, it's the wrath of man. It's the wrath of the Antichrist regime. And it causes tremendous persecution. It just encroaches slowly, 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 and then suddenly, 3.5 years into it, full bore. So again, that's a nutshell of where I see that we're going. So again, instead of the pre-tribulation rapture prior to this seven-year rapture, I can see a rapture somewhere after the Antichrist comes on the scene and the global governments takes force in various parts of the world. I hope it doesn't come to America, but y'all, right now it ain't looking good. I'm just telling you. But nonetheless, this global governance takes effect. They desecrate the rebuilt Jewish temple 3.5 years into it. The person that leads this does. Then there is what's called the Great Tribulation. And that's a time of intense persecution of both Christians and Jews. I believe we'll be here. I don't believe the rapture will have occurred yet. So if you got 7 years, you got 3.5 years into it. And then that next period after the Antichrist turncoats on Israel and then begins to persecute Jews and Christians. That's called the Great Tribulation. Jesus mentioned that in Matthew 24. And Jesus said, except those days were shortened, there would no elect or no saved people would be able to survive. The persecution would be so intense. But for the sake of the elect, that time is shortened. So again, you've got the first few years of that seven-year period that the Antichrist is going to be here. I believe we'll be here as well, and that's going to be a really challenging time. I want you to be ready for that and be prepared for some real tumultuous activity. Now, on the other hand, the glory of God's going to be falling on the earth, my friends. So we see all this hell breaking loose in the natural world with this global governance arising and, you know, just kind of tightening the screws on all of us, so to speak, with respect to what we believe. But don't forget, the glory of God's going to fall at the same time. And there can be tremendous moves of God, tremendous moves of the Holy Spirit just before, at some point into that seven-year period, the rapture of the church occurs. I do believe, and I've taught this, that we are immunized from the wrath of God, but not the wrath of man. So again, first few years, the wrath of the Antichrist as he persecutes Jews, then Christians, and then the Great Tribulation, Jews and Christians are persecuted. We're not immune from that. But you know what we are immune from? The wrath of God. The day of the Lord that is spoken of so many times in both Old and New Testament, the day of the Lord is mentioned, a lot of times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 5, Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, just to talk about a few, Acts chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, and 2 Peter 3. All of those mention the day of the Lord. The Old Testament mentions the day of the Lord. Obadiah, Joel, several places in Joel, Amos, Isaiah, several places, Ezekiel, several places in Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Zechariah all mention the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a time of the wrath of God falling on planet Earth. We're immune from that, my friends. That's when cataclysmic things occur. That's where Revelation chapter 8, where meteorites fall from the sky and it just changes everything on this planet. A lot of people die. We're immune from that. The rapture will have occurred by then. First few years of this 7-year period, friends, we're going to be here. And I just want you to be ready. Prepare yourself. Get yourself right with Jesus. Get ready to be used by the Holy Spirit to minister life to people who don't know what to do in the midst of all the chaos that's coming. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the life of God. We have the light of the world on the inside of us. We have the angels of God that surround us and minister to us. We have the power, the resurrection power of God on the inside. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are rising up, and God wants to use us during this midst, in the midst of this time of crazy turmoil, to minister life to people. I just want you to be ready for that. So let me go, come right back and make some sense to everything I just said. You could break the 7-year period that Daniel saw that is yet to be fulfilled, that we call the tribulation, break it up into 3 segments, and you can see it clearly. The first 2 segments in Matthew 24, the first period of this 7-year period is called, Jesus called it, the beginning of sorrows. And let's see, here's the Passion Translation, Matthew 24:4. At that time, the disciples asked him what the world's going to be like before he comes back. Jesus said, at that time, deception will run rampant. Be aware that you're not fooled. Many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I am God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars and nearby and revolutions on every side with more rumors of war to come. Don't panic or give in to fears, for the breaking apart of the world system is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. And friends, we're there right now. This, Jesus called this, just like he said, just like a woman, you know her time of giving birth is close because she's having contractions. And these are the contractions. So we call this again, we call this the period of birth pangs. And this is the time just before the rapture of the church. It's the beginning of the 7-year period. Verse 7, Jesus said in Matthew 24, nation will go to war against each other and kingdoms against kingdom. And there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion, horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. And this is how the first contractions or birth pains, King James Version said, this is how the beginning of sorrows of the new age will begin. So again, we're right. It feels like we're in that. We're just before what I'm looking for this 7-year period that is spoken of by Daniel and that is spoken of in the Word of God. Some kind of a treaty, according to Daniel 9:27, has to occur. And I haven't seen that happen yet. It could happen at any moment. Will we know it? I hope we will. I trust we will. Could it be that treaty with Israel happens that starts the 7-year period without us? No, it could be, but I think we're probably going to have an idea that it started. Some people think that tribulation has begun. If it's not, I think we're right at the very door of it. So get yourself ready. Get your family ready. Don't walk in fear. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just be aware of these things are going to come. 3.5 years into that time is the period when the Antichrist breaks what this covenant is, which is some kind of a covenant or treaty or an agreement with Israel, with the nations around them. And then during this time, the Antichrist desecrates the rebuilt Jewish temple and then begins to kill and persecute seriously Jews and Christians in the Middle East, perhaps worldwide on a great scale. So here's what it says in Matthew 24, verse 9. Again, this is Passion Translation. It said, you can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me, fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. Many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. They're going, a lot of people are going to be saying that, a lot of things about what's going on, people that say they are in the prophetic and this is going on, that's going on. You need to stick with the Word of God. I could get into great detail, but I don't have time in this podcast to do so. Just be aware. I'm very suspect when people said, here's what the Lord says, this is what the Lord says. Be very careful with those things, particularly during this time. Then Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. And you're seeing those kinds of things begin to happen now. Verse 13, but keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, the joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. After this, the end of this age will arrive. We're going to be here sharing Jesus. There's going to be a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit during this helter-skelter time. Just be aware of that. And that's the reason that you and I, you know what? We need to draw close to the Lord. We need to pursue Him with passion. We need to keep our we need to keep ourselves on fire for Jesus. Read the Word of God. Pray. Fellowship with God. And ask God to deliver you and set you free from anything that hinders His presence in your life, His fellowship with you, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, so we can be used by God and be ready when Jesus comes back. Then Jesus said this in Matthew 24:15, when you witness what Daniel prophesied, the disgusting destroyer, the abomination of desecration, taking its stand in the holy place, let the reader learn, then those in the land of Judah must escape to the higher ground. On that day, if you happen to be outside, go back. Don't go back inside to gather belongings. And here Jesus is speaking to Jewish believers in the Middle East, in Israel. It's going to be a time of tremendous persecution of Jews. He said, don't go back home to get your stuff. Get out of there. Verse 18, Jesus said, and if you're working out in the field, again, talking to the believers, the Jewish people in Israel, don't run back home to get a coat. It will be especially hard for pregnant women, for those nursing their babies in those days, because you can't flee very quickly if you've got a baby in your hand, particularly if you've got a brand new baby in the woman's breastfeeding the baby. Very difficult to travel. Verse 20 says, so pray that your escape will not be during the winter months or on a Sabbath, for this will be a time of great misery, or as other translations say, great tribulation, beyond the magnitude of anything the world has seen or ever will see. Unless God limited those days, no one would escape. But because of His love for those chosen to be His, He will shorten that time of trouble. And so again, this Jesus is talking about the great tribulation here. So you got the birth pangs, which is the first beginning part of that, where there's wars, there's insurrections, nations rise against nation, there's famine, there's earthquakes, there's all kinds of crazy things. And we're right on the edge of that, if not in the middle of it right now. So I don't know again that the 7 years has begun yet, but I think we're right at the door of it. And if when and if I think it's begin, I'll let you know. But I just know we're right on the edge of that. The world is poised for the global governance at some point to arise. Just be aware of that. And then Jesus mentioned next after, so you got the birth pangs, those first few years, 3.5 years into the 7 year period. Then you got the abomination of desolation where the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem, desecrates it, and then seriously persecutes Christians and Jews, probably because their stance on morals is so narrow in the mind of the global government. So just be aware of that. Those things are coming. The Bible says it will, and we're probably going to be here during that time. But here's what you can be looking for. The rapture of the church will occur right after what Jesus termed the Great Tribulation, which is a short period of time into the 3.5 years. Once the Antichrist turns coats and breaks fellowship with Israel, then the Great Tribulation, probably, I don't know how long it'll last, maybe a year, year and a half, tops 2 years. And then Jesus said this, the rapture of the church, I believe in, listen, the pre-wrath rapture of the church, because God's not appointed us to wrath And because the wrath of God is what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a period of time. It's a short period of time, maybe 2 years at the very end of that seven-year period. The whole seven-year period is not the day of the Lord. And that's what a lot of people preach and teach. I don't see it. I see that day of the Lord is when the wrath of God, that means nature turns chaotic and a lot of people die. That's the wrath of God. We're immune from that. And that starts in Revelation chapter 8. When it looks like the meteorites fall from the sky and helter-skelter happens here. Jesus also gave us a sign when the rapture would begin to occur. And he said this in Matthew 24, 29 through 31, immediately after the anguish or tribulation of those days, or the great tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then at last the sign of the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen to verse 31. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet. Listen, this corresponds and parallels 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, where the Apostle Paul talks about the rapture or the catching away of the saints. Jesus said here in Matthew 24, 31, he will send out his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. This is not the second coming of Christ. This is the rapture of the church to heaven. You also read about that. Listen to Revelation 6, verse 12, where the apostle John was on Patmos, and he got this. And Revelation 6 is a parallel to Matthew 24. And it says here in Revelation 6, 12, I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They cried to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? So just before the wrath of God hits with the opening of the seventh seal that I've talked about so many times on the scroll in God's right hand, that starts in Revelation 8. The sun darkens, the moon darkens, the stars darken. There's a tremendous earthquake here according to Revelation chapter 6. And it's a wake-up call to believers that Jesus is about to come in the rapture of the church. What is the sign of the rapture of the church? Cosmic disturbances. When the sun darkens, the moon darkens, the stars don't give their light, and it just seems really strange, and then a tremendous earthquake occurs. It's a sign that Jesus is coming in the rapture to take us away. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what I'm excited about. That'll be right after a tremendous period of persecution of Jews and Christians called the Great Tribulation, which is 3.5 years into that seven-year period we call the tribulation. And it'll probably last again probably a year, year and a half, maybe tops 2 years or so. But then when the sun, moon, and stars darken and that great earthquake occurs, that's when we know we're about to head out of here. That's before the meteorites begin to fall. And that's the wrath of God. And so, again, just be aware, this is a lot to say in a short period of time. Just want you to be aware, nice things are not coming to planet Earth. I know I like to be positive, and I'm a really positive guy. You know, I can look at this and still be positive. You know why? Because I have the angels of God surrounding me. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I have the Word of God to undergird me. I have faith that Jesus will take care of me regardless of what happens on planet Earth. And as things turn south before Jesus comes back, He promised that His glory would fall on the earth. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You know what? The glory of God's going to shine really bright this next time, because the world's going to seem so dark. And just before Jesus comes back, although it's helter-skelter, it's crazy nuts, although the Antichrist is doing what he does, see, at the same time, Jesus will be ministering life through us, the church, and the gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations. And then Jesus will come back. Friends, be excited about the day we're living in and make personal preparations to get right with God. And, you know, regardless, you know, I've prepared. I'm a prepper. I've got essentials at home in case you can't find food in the grocery store and drinkable water. You need to make those kinds of plans and preparations. But more than that, prepare your faith, because you know what I found out? When you're walking with God and you walk by faith and not by feelings, God does miraculous things for you. And just like, you know, I was praying this morning, God reminded me, if God can provide food for a prophet by a brook out of a raven's mouth, he can provide for you, right? If God can split the Red Sea and cause 2.5 million people to go across on dry land and set Israel free from Egyptian bondage, certainly God can take care of you in this tumultuous time, right? If God can provide for a widow and her son with a little bit of flour in a pot and a little bit of olive oil, and it keeps coming out of the pot when it's supposed to be empty, and the olive oil keeps pouring when the bottle should be empty, and she keeps making bread and she keeps living during a famine. If God in 1 Kings 17 can provide for that widow, can God provide for you in this tumultuous time? If Jesus can feed over 10,000 people, 5,000 men plus the women and children, in excess of 10,000 people with a little boy's lunch, I want you to know that God can take care of you during this time. So, you know, we need to keep our perspective, know that we're children of the Most High, that the Holy Spirit's in us. If Jesus can be raised from the dead, if God can do miraculous things, if he's done them in the past, if the shadow of Peter can fall on people and then be raised up well and whole, you know what? God can minister life to me and you and then through me and you during this nuts time that we're coming upon in planet Earth. So don't take what I just said and say, oh, my Lord, Pastor Mitch, what are we going to do? Well, you know what? We're going to walk with God. We're going to do his will. We're going to keep our chin up. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to read the word. We're going to forsake not the fellowship of ourselves together in church attendance, in church meetings. We're going to worship together. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe God together. We're going to share Jesus with people together. We're going to be persecuted together. We're going to shout together. We're going to sing together. We're going to cry together. You know what? And we're going to go to heaven together in the rapture of the church. That's what's going to happen. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited about today. Just want to stir you up. Walk with God. Give him your best. Give him your heart. Give him your all. Make time for him. Make room for him. And my friend, during this crazy time, he will provide for you. Father, minister life to every person listening to this. Let this not instill fear, but faith in the heart of the people who hear it. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Well, this was hot off the press, just straight from my heart, and hope it ministered life. Looking forward to talking to you next time. God bless you. Well, that's it for this week's episode. I hope it blesses you spiritually and helps you grow closer to God. Before you go, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Those simple steps go a long way to helping us reach new listeners that need to hear these messages. Also, I would love for you to reach out to me with any questions or comments you have about the topics I discuss. My email is pastor@victorychurchraleigh.com, and it's in the show notes there on the screen you have. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.